Thank you, Pastor Cobort, and good morning, everyone. I'll tell you, it's a beautiful Sabbath. I left the clouds and the rain of the north and came down here to the sunshine of the south. So I appreciate your accommodation. It was nice. And also appreciate being here again. I enjoy coming. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. For those of you who are here for the first service, know that the series that I'm sharing with you is called Who is Able to Stand? And that, of course, is a direct quote out of the sixth seal found in Revelation, the sixth chapter, in which God very resoundingly answers that question. Who is able to stand? Those who are part of the 144,000, those who receive the seal of the living God, those who are ready for the close of probation with Christ's robe of righteousness surrounding them. Can you say hallelujah? There's a group. There's an answer to that question. Who is able to stand? Like the question is offered, like no one is able to stand. This is just too much. But it turns out to be false. There are those who are able to stand. I want to be part of that group. Do you?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I agree with you. And this presentation is entitled The Message of the Hour. The first one was the burden for the Lord, God's burden for God's people. And this one is the message of the hour. And I know you're going to enjoy it. So if you bow your heads with me, I would like to offer a word of prayer. Father, I so much appreciated David's special music because it speaks of our need, Lord, as well as a desire to worship You. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. And we want You to bless us for this worship service. Lord, I want Your Spirit to be poured out upon me. I want the words that I speak to be Yours. I know You gave me these thoughts. I want You now to organize them and deliver them through me just exactly how You'd want it. So that when it's said and done, Lord, we will have seen Jesus and we will have heard Jesus and no one else. So take me and use me and bless us. And thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I brought with me this morning one of my Time magazines. This one happens to be the April 3rd edition, 2006. I wonder how many notice. It has a picture of a lone, what appears to be very lonely polar bear sitting on a small ice floe in the middle of what's obviously very cold water. And it says on the top there above Time magazine, it says, Special Report Global Warming. And then on the side here, it says, Be worried. Be very worried. Climate change isn't some vague future promise problem. It's already damaging the planet at an alarming pace. Here's how it affects you, your kids, and their kids as well. And then when you turn to the inside on this article, I just want to read the first paragraph, and here's my point. No one can say exactly what it looks like when a planet takes ill. But it probably looks a lot like Earth. Never mind that you've heard about global warming as a slow motion emergency that would take decades to play out. Suddenly, and unexpectedly, the crisis is upon us. Now that is the final sentence of the first paragraph of this article, this whole issue on global warming. Suddenly And unexpectedly, the crisis is upon us. And folks, I believe that this is a perfect introduction to the topic today, the message of the hour. For indeed, I believe that the close of probation is sneaking up on us suddenly and unexpectedly. And if that's the case, God have mercy. And so what is the message of the hour? I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation, of all places, the 16th chapter, where we will find the message of the hour. Now, while you're turning to Revelation, I want you Bible students to suddenly ponder, what do you know is listed in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation? The seven last plagues. And you're going, wait a minute, how can the message of the hour be found in the seven last plagues? Well, do you have Revelation, the 16th chapter? All right, now, and by the way, I want the children to turn in their Bibles. When I'm going to read now, I'm going to read about five verses here, and I want the children to follow along, and you'll be surprised that the Spirit of God may pique your interest. And instead of reading the guide, you may learn something really neat about Jesus. So I like the children to open their Bibles, and I will wait for the children to open their Bibles. I want them at Revelation, the 16th chapter, because you'll see right in the midst of all this disastrous talk of plagues and horrible things happening is one of the most beautiful messages found in all of Scripture, and I call it the message of the hour. Okay, children, are you with me? Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And chapter 16 is the one with the 1 and the 6. And it's in between the 1 and the 5 and the 1 and the 4. And we're going to look at verse 12. What did I say? Oh yeah, 1 and 5 and 1 and 7. Oh, so that's the way Italians count. Come on now. All right, we're going to start with verse 12. Listen very carefully. Here it is. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of... Oops, I missed one. Excuse me. Yes. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirit-like frogs, for they are the spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world and to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keep his garments, lest he walk about naked, and men see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in the Hebrew is called Har-Mageddon. Now I want to stop right there, children. I want you to listen very carefully, for here we find the sixth plague. Now the six plagues, or the plagues, the seven last plagues found here in Revelation, the 16th chapter, are poured out, by the way, after probation closes. And it's referred to in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 1, a time of trouble such as never was before. And notice, if there's only seven plagues, this is the second to the last one. And here it talks about the plague being poured out on the great river, the river Euphrates, so that the water is dried up. And notice that it prepares the way for the kings from the east. But then it says something very peculiar that doesn't seem to fit. All of a sudden it says, and I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirit like frogs, for they are the spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Now let me stop right there for a second and let me show you something very interesting as we look at the message of the hour. And that is precisely this. If you read carefully through the seals in the book of Revelation, you will find after the sixth seal, there's an interlude in which additional information is given that is not related to the seals, and then comes the seventh seal. If you will look carefully at the trumpets in the book of Revelation, you will find after the sixth trumpet comes an interlude. In other words, information, by the way, very valuable in both the seals and in the trumpets, that have nothing to do with the trumpets, at least apparently, before the seventh trumpet. And now I want to suggest to you that here in the sixth seal, there's an interlude. And that interlude contains the message of the hour. It contains the message for our day. The interlude is interrupting the flow of the plagues, and it is actually reverting to a time prior to the plagues in the message. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go back here and notice that the plague literally is this, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. Verse 16. And they gathered them together to a place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. I want to submit to you that verses 13, 14, and 15 are a similar interlude here in the sixth plague as you find in the sixth seal, after the sixth seal, and after the sixth trumpet. And there's a message found here that is very timely, important, and necessary. By the way, I hope you know what's transpiring here in the sixth plague when it says that the bowl of the plague there is poured out in the great river Euphrates so that the water dries up and the way is prepared for the kings from the east. What a beautiful, what a glorious symbolic message is found here in that sixth plague. This is one of the most exciting and gratifying messages as well as the plague itself for remnant people. Let me show you that. Verse 13, 14, and 15, I submit to you as an interlude. Why do I say that? Because notice it says, I come as a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garment, lest he walk about naked and see man's shame. That's a message before probation, my friends. Do you understand that? At this point in the game, there is no sense in keeping awake. There's no sense in being told to keep your garments. There is no sense to be told, I come as a thief. For you see, in my understanding of Scripture, along with the parables of the ten virgins, along with the parable of the wedding feast, along with the Scripture reading in 1 Thessalonians, I come as a thief is a reference to the close of probation. To those people who aren't ready, and even to those who are, it comes like a thief. And so this has to be prior to the close of probation where it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garment, lest he walk around naked and they see his shame. It has absolutely no sense whatsoever after the close of probation. Therefore, this is a message for the hour. It's the one we need to heed, folks. And by the way, notice how we got to this point. Let me revert up to verse 13, where it says, "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirit like frogs, for they are the spirits of demons performing signs." Now, what did you learn in Revelation 13? What did you learn in Revelation 13? That there's a beast and then there's an image to the beast, and the image to the beast forces everybody to worship the beast. And how does he go about convincing them that he's legitimate? Miraculous signs. That's right. And what does it say over in the book of Matthew 24 where it says, "Beware of false Christs and false prophets who will do what? Incredible signs and wonders that will almost take out the elect, folks." Take out the elect. So notice here we have an interlude in the sixth plague. Here's how we got to this point. By the miraculous signs that the unholy Trinity were able to perform by the power of Satan that convinced all the kings and all the rich people, all the mighty men, all the merchants, all the pastors, all the church members, that they knew what they were talking about. And that if they didn't follow them, they'd be lost and sorry. But there's a group at this very crisis time that said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed. Blessed is the one who stays awake." Brothers and sisters, now is the awake time. So here in the midst of the second to the last plague, we have the message of the hour telling us exactly what we need to do. Who will be able to stand? Those who stay awake. By the way, if you read the parable, as I already referred to, and all these relate together, you read these all together, you'll see how they go together, folks. You read the parable of the 10 virgins. You all know that parable. I mean, you read that. They looked alike. They acted alike. They all had their lamps. They all had oil in their lamps. And they were going out to see the bridegroom. I mean, they were all exactly alike until it says they all fell asleep. Fell asleep. Now, five of them had extra oil with them and five of them didn't. And when the call came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," and they woke up suddenly, five were ready and five weren't. By the way, did you ever wonder what the sleep has to do there? Why does it say they were asleep? Well, he tarried, but you would expect the unrighteous or the unprepared to sleep, but you would not expect the prepared to sleep, would you? They all slept. They all slept. Let me suggest to you a thought. It means that not even the righteous know when probation closes. They're just ready. Did you hear me, folks? Let me suggest to you that the meaning of "they all slept" means none of them knew when probation would be closing, but five of them were ready for it anyway, and the other five weren't. And when it came suddenly, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, and it says at 12 o'clock, and in all our minds, whether we live that kind of lifestyle, 12 o'clock, we conjure up these thoughts of being sound asleep at home in bed in the dark, away from all the hustle and bustle and confusion and traffic of the world. That's when Jesus comes in the sense of the closing of probation. And so the message of the hour is, "Behold, I come as a thief," folks. You do not know when I'm coming. So the only way, or the only appropriate behaviors, to be ready. And so it says, "Blessed." By the way, did you know in the book of Revelation there are seven blesseds? Did you know that? And I do believe right here is found the third blessed. Blessed. By the way, you know the first one, don't you? Blessed is he who hears and reads and does what this book says. That's what it is. And then the last one is, "Blessed is he who has a right to the tree of life." Look through the seven blesseds of the book of Revelation, folks. Seven's a complete number. And notice that here in the sixth seal is one of those blesseds. Blessed is the person who stays awake. Well, I went to that parable of the 10 virgins, which wraps up in Matthew 25 and verse 13. And you know what the sum total message of verse 13 sums up the 10 virgins. You know what it is? Stay awake, because you don't know when I'm coming. And that's the same Greek verb, stay awake, that we find over here in the sixth plague in Revelation 16, verse 15. Gregor eo, whether that means anything to you or not. In fact, the word means to stay awake, to watch, literally or figuratively, be diligent. Folks, you are to be diligent. The message of the hour is to stay awake and be diligent. And by the way, it happens to be in a present participle. So let me give you the literal translation. Blessed is the one who keeps staying awake. That's exactly what's meant in the Greek by the word, the way it's written there, the Greek verb gregoretero. Blessed is the one who keeps staying awake and who keeps what? What does it say there? Garments. He keeps his garments, folks. What does that make you think of? Robe of righteousness. And where do we find that? The 144,000. And also, let's turn in our Bibles. Keep your finger here to the message to the Laodicean church. And let me show you what this is all about, folks. Do you have Revelation, the third chapter? And notice what it says here. And by the way, one of the things you've got to work on as you read your Bible, read through your Bible, look at cross-references, find places, and when you see similarity of languages, they're talking usually about the same events. See? Notice what it says. Verse what? 18. Notice he says, I advise you. I'm advising you. I got news for you. You better listen to this. I want you to buy from me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. And by the way, you know what that states? No matter how rich you are, you aren't rich unless you either have or also have God's gold. See? See? You can say you're rich. Notice the way it's worded there. It's worded there to tell us who really is rich. It isn't the millionaires and the billionaires. But it might be if they also have God's gold. And there are those, folks, there are those that were gifted with the ability of getting money for the work of God. And there are many who are gifted to get money who don't give it to God. Or they give it to God and they control it. Hello? They control it. I advise you to buy from me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich, and white raiment. By the way, in the Greek, that's the same word, garment. White garment is the same word as over in Revelation 16, verse 15, the same Greek word. That you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. You see? Isn't that what you just read over there in the message of the hour? Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps staying awake. And blessed is the one who keeps his garment and continues to keep his garment. That happens to also be a present participle too. So it literally means blessed is the one who keeps staying awake and the one who keeps keeping his garment. So he doesn't walk around naked. I want the children to hear this. This is really neat. I love this. Folks, you know what that means? See, I looked at this over in You know, that's the council to Laodiceans. We've seen we're getting the council repeated here in the sixth plague in an interlude. Obviously, Jesus is like taking us gently by the collar and going, "Hello, you remnant. Wake up. You didn't catch it in verse chapter 3, so I'm going to repeat it in 16 in a funny location. That I don't want anybody to see you naked." That's what it says there. I looked at it. That they don't see your shame or they don't see your nakedness. And all of a sudden I stopped and I thought, wait a minute. Jesus isn't saying, stay awake and keep your garments so that my kingdom can be more full. Or I can have more people before the throne praising me. No. What does it say? That no one sees your nakedness. It doesn't say no one. It says that they. You know, I looked at that Greek verb there at the end of verse 15, and it's a third person plural. I don't want them seeing your nakedness. I don't want them seeing your shame. And you know what? That conjures up the beautiful thoughts of the prodigal son. Can you imagine? It says he's far way off. Here he comes over the hill, and some may sit there and say, well, the father just happened to be walking through the veranda in the cool of the evening and looked out coincidentally and saw the son coming. Something tells me that our God, who loves unconditionally, never left the veranda the minute the son left, and he was watching that hill every single moment. And suddenly there's his son in the distance. No matter what he looked like, and he was scruffy, folks, and he was filthy, and he was smelly, and his hair was probably long as well as matted, and he did not have recognizable clothes on, and maybe very little of that, but that's my son. And what did he tell his servants to do? Put a robe on him. Don't let anybody see him in public. I don't want anybody to see my son like that. I don't want anybody to see my daughter like that. So what God is looking for is children that are wearing His garment of Christ's righteousness. This is a messageness. This is a message of righteousness by faith, folks. In the last days, those who will receive the seal and will be ready for the close of probation are the ones that have a relationship with Jesus Christ so intimate and close and defined and real that no matter what comes down the pike, they will stand firm. By the way, why do you think it mentioned the miracles again? Do you know the miracles will be so outstanding that the people will be infuriated at the minor few who refuse to cow down and who refuse to cooperate? And then suddenly Satan instigates that all these terrible things happening are because of this small little group that agitate on the commandments of God. After I told you that God said those commandments, particularly the fourth one, no longer matter. I'll tell you, you want to know if you're an Adventist or not? Wait till they sign the death decree. Do you know that throughout Ellen White's writings, whether it be early writings, testimonies to ministers, or Great Controversy, just to mention three, the great final test is when you're asked, either give up your Sabbath or you're a dead duck. She says it. I got to thinking about that. You know, if Jesus isn't my best friend before that moment, guess what? Guess what? He won't be my best friend after. He won't be. Folks, I won't have the wherewithal. You say, oh, no, I'll go. I want to be in heaven. So when that time comes, I'm going to look at them and I'm going to say, no way. And you know what? You don't understand character. Character. So the message of the hour is couched in the sixth plague. And that message is telling us who will stand. Those who keep the robe of Christ's righteousness around them by not giving in to other things like, got to work harder for more money, I need more time to play, I like being on the computer. I watch movies. I love playing my Nintendos or whatever those crazy things are. And you folks, slowly but surely, the time that you could spend with Lord is being whittled down and down, lower and lower. The time you could be in prayer is whittled down, lower and lower. The time in which you could be reading your spirit of prophecy is whittled down, lower and lower. Your time for service for others is usually non-existent. And you're not ready. I'm not ready if I do that, folks. I can stand here and tell you that because I'm in the same boat you are. So here's the message of the hour. The message of the hour is found in the sixth plague, and the sixth plague tells us, "Behold, I am coming like a thief." You don't know when probation is closing. But it doesn't matter if you don't know. If you keep your garments and keep keeping your garments, and if you keep watch and keep keeping watch, because I don't want anybody to see your nakedness. I don't want anybody to see your shame. Here's the message of the hour. And I want you to know something very interesting in closing here. And that is this. Why in the world would God put a probationary appeal in the six plagues of all places? Why would he do that? When I say pre-probationary, meaning that message is before probation closes, the plagues are after probation closes. Why would he do such a thing? I want to suggest two things to you. Here we go. Because it is the sixth plague in which I believe the spirit of prophecy teaches that the death decree is being implemented. See, you all know the story of Esther, right? And after Haman fired up the king, they passed a law. And then the law went out and everybody heard the law that you can kill the Jews. But do you remember? It wasn't tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. In fact, there was so much time in between the death decree passed and the death decree implemented that a whole bunch of stuff happened in between. In the meantime, of course, Esther did her thing, and then a decree went out that the Jews can fight back. Brothers and sisters, you now can understand that probation, what marks probation's closing, is when they pass the death decree. That's it. That is it. Michael stands up, and then you hear, "Blessed is the one who's holy, he remains holy. Blessed is, or cursed is the one unholy, he remains unholy." And then the plagues are poured out, and notice, the believers don't even know. That's why Great Controversy says we're still crying and sighing before the Lord with pale faces praying. When you get to the sixth plague, that's where they begin to implement, or they're ready now to implement the death decree. It's at that moment that God intervenes and He delivers His saints. Can you say hallelujah? Folks, the drying up of the great river Euphrates is multitudes, nations, peoples, those who support the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, those who either receive the mark in their forehead or their hand, those who decided to turn upon the commandment keeper, the small, fragile, poor group of individuals who are upstarts, who refuse to follow all the rest of us, and who we were told is causing all this trouble on the earth. They go to implement it. And at that moment, it's done. At that moment, read what Great Controversy says, folks. At that moment, suddenly we see a cloud in the sky. And they see a rainbow around us and they fall back. And folks, that's when we hear a voice saying, "That's it, it is done." And at that moment, they turn on each other and they kill each other. And they don't kill us. They kill each other. And then Jesus, we're told in Great Controversy, speaks the moment, the hour, and the day of His coming. And while they're killing and massacring each other, the unrighteous, the righteous are waiting as Jesus is now coming to take His people home. So why during the sixth plague, when they go to implement the death decree, folks, God wants you to understand that the reason the unrighteous are being cursed and the reason the righteous are being delivered is because of a decision they made prior to the plagues being poured out. And God wants to give us a wake-up call. I want you to be ready. I want you to keep watching. I want you to stay vigilant. I want you to be in your Bibles. I want you to read the Spirit of Prophecy. I want you to be in prayer. I want you to come together. And I want you to serve my people who don't know this, who are languishing all around the world in poverty and in grief and in sin and in degradation and immorality. And those who are doing that, folks, even though He comes as a thief, meaning probation closes without our knowledge, we will have received the seal of God and didn't even know it. Because God never neglects His own. And so He gives this beautiful message, put on His robe. And I was thinking, how many of you would like to have Christ's robe, His righteousness, that means His life, in your heart, in your life? If you do, I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you to come forward and let's have a special prayer together. And in calling you to come forward, you're enacting out that you're asking God for this beautiful robe of righteousness that not even the death threats can penetrate. And by the way, notice I'm already down here, so I'm with you. I'm not over you. And as you're coming for this commitment in this prayer, I want you also to understand that that robe is inherently intertwined with the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is the Holy Spirit that brings the righteousness of Christ. And folks, listen, you may say, I am a feeble person, or I am a sinful person, or I am a weak person, or I have no willpower. And you want to know something? That's all of us here. But with the third person of the Godhead residing in our heart, He can make it possible for us to, number one, stay awake. Be vigilant. Number two, keep that robe on. And God's purpose is so no one sees your shame. Well, God bless you for coming forward and making those decisions. And let's pray together and ask the Lord to seal them. Father in heaven, I thank You for the message of the hour. Amen. A message of righteousness by faith. That if we truly get to know You, we'll put our trust in You. And if we put our trust in You, You'll put Your power in us. And if You put Your power in us, even this preacher here, as sinful and erring as he is, has hope of victory. And so I ask, Father, for those who have come forward, as well as myself, that You would help us to realize this desire. That when Satan comes to whisper in our ear and say, ah, you're wasting your time, or see, here you are, just Sabbath afternoon, you already blew it. I told you you couldn't do it. It's a waste of time. Don't even bother. I want You to remind us that Your grace is new. When? Every single morning. So Father, help us to understand this. Defeat Satan's purposes. Set us all free. We are slaves. But we want to be slaves of Yours, not of sin. So let no one be discouraged here, Father. And show us those victories that we need in our life to spur us on to be more like You. And now my prayer for this group is, Father, bless this church. I want You to pour out Your Spirit on this church and each member. I want You to help them when they have conflict, that they approach it in a Christ-like way, that they'd even read the Bible and the councils how to approach conflict, and that You would minimize our our interactions that are negative and critical, but you would maximize our outreach and our thoughtfulness to others.
Amen.
So Lord, bless us to this end. And now I want to thank you. If anyone here is inclined to think that you didn't answer, that you're not listening, or that you can't do it, I want you to put them straight, Lord. Because the Bible says, if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we find. And if we knock, the door will be open. And thank you for these promises that we claim in the name of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2006. All rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.